Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Matt Giglio.
I'm Mindong. 73 days until the college basketball season tips off.
Indeed. And we are back. It has been a while since we have been back. Had some stuff going on, both of us. You know how college goes and life. But we are back and excited to be back. August 13th was 12 days ago, but who cares? We're starting our conference previews, a very, very beloved subject of ours. We go through every single conference, every single team in Division One college basketball, and give our takes and thoughts on all of these teams. And for those who do not know, we'll go through the rundown after we get some words in from men. But it's good to be back.
Yeah, it is good to be back. We were supposed to do this on your birthday, but we didn't. But happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
How does it feel being 21?
It's surreal. We're getting old. I know we say this a lot, but yeah, we're getting very old. But no, it feels amazing, honestly. It's a lot different being 21, but you'll be there soon in December. So not too long, not too long indeed. But yeah, today's conference preview, the first of how many are there? 32, or I don't even remember how many there are.
32.
Yeah, that was right. But first of many, this one, it's meaningful now because one of our colleges is in this America East Conference, and we begin here once again. The Bryant Bulldogs, men's college team, they are in here. This is men's. This should be men's conference. He knows this, every single team in here by heart, and he scouts them all. So if he doesn't do better in this one than I do, then that's just kind of sad. But for those who do not know, we run through player of the year, dark horse, and then we go top to bottom. So there are nine teams in this America East Conference. So we go nine all the way up to number one. And yeah, I think without further ado, you want to kick off who your player of the year is for this conference. Very surprising pick, by the way. Not surprising, but you know.
I don't really think it is a surprise to pick. I honestly think he is probably the best player in this conference. And he was in the portal. He was flirting with all these Power 5 schools, but decided to return to his school. That would be Clarence O'Daniels, the second of UNH. He averaged a double-double last year, 15 points, 11 rebounds, 1.5 assists. And, yeah, he's a great player. I'm going to assume he's going to average another double-double this year. And I think he is probably the best player in the conference heading into this season.
Very fair. But I'm picking one of your Bryant Bulldogs. I'm surprised. He's probably your second. Is he your second option?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm picking Sharif Gross Bullock of Bryant. This dude's an absolute killer. And with Charles Pryor gone, I think he takes another step up in that scoring. I know they have a couple other scores as well. I know we'll talk about Bryant later. But last year in 29 games, he averaged 17 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, and 3 assists, and also a steal in there as well. Very efficient shooter, almost 40% from 3 last year. Free throws are a little bit of a question mark in his game. But when he gets the ball, he's a lethal weapon. And I think he's going to have another very good year next year. I know in that quarterfinal game, he did not play very well, only 4 points against UNH, who you just mentioned, in that quarterfinal game. But you know Sharif Gross Bullock better than I do, and you know he's lights out, and he is in for a big year.
Yeah, definitely. As for my dark horse, I'm going to go with the team that I have the preseason player of the year at. That would be UNH, the University of New Hampshire, obviously. When you have a guy as good as Clarence O'Daniels II, you're gonna be somewhat in contention. I know they have a new coaching staff in, and they have they got a huge roster turnaround, to say the least. A lot of JUCO guys coming in, and a couple starters back as well. So it's gonna be interesting to see how this team gels in the first year.
Indeed, and there is good news. We did not know what UMass Lowell's roster was. They actually just released it the other day. So we'll do that on the fly. But my dark horse is Maine. I know Maine, you're thinking, this team is going to be good this year? Yeah, I mean, I think they are. Four starters and some of the bench returns, Kellen Tynes and Peter Filip Poverty. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that one right, but those two guys are coming back, very big returns. They do lose one of the big starters. I forget his name, but I know he was a very important piece to this main team. But Tynes, he's been playing in Canada, I believe, this offseason, and I think he's going to be in for a very good year at the helm for this main team who's hungry. I think they're very hungry, and I have big expectations for them this year.
Yeah, this main team's going to be good. And I think Tynes led the whole Division One in steals per game last year, if I'm not
Really?
mistaken.
I'll double check you, but
I feel like I'm
you're probably right. I'll double check you though.
all right, but let's start at number nine. Easy choice for number nine. This team only has six scholarship players on their roster right now as we speak, and that's pretty bad, especially with 73 days left until tip off, and that would be Albany. Two starters return from those six guys, the big guy Jonathan Beagle and Aaron Reddish. So that is, yeah, Aaron Reddish as well returns. Those are the two starters, but yeah, with six guys, I can't really put them anywhere except nine.
Definitely agree. I have them there as well. And you were correct. Kellen Tynes did lead the nation in assists with 3.3. So congrats for remembering that. But yeah, this Albany team don't have much expectations. Jonathan Beagle, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but he can only do so much for this Albany team. I thought when Aaron Reddish was gonna come in, I thought this team was gonna be all right, moving up to the next level, but they have not progressed at all whatsoever. So yeah, Albany, they're gonna take a seat towards the bottom this year once again. And I know we like to talk about our tiers. Yeah, I'd say there's a clear bottom two in that bottom tier, and then besides that, it's kind of anyone's game in this conference.
Yeah, and at number eight, that would be the second of the bottom tier. That would be NJIT. They got a new coaching regime coming in as well. Their head coach is Grant Bill Mayer. He was an assistant at Seton Hall last year, I believe. But he kept most of the team intact. Lost the three starters, but the majority of the bench and two other starters return. Adam Hess is going to be a hell of a player in the league as well. And with for a team that has a lot of just probably one of the biggest budgets in all of the conference. I think they're going to be good for years to come. But this year's kind of their rebuilding year.
Definitely agree. And I have them there as well. NJIT, two stars, the majority of the bench has returned. But you talked about Adam Hess. Yeah, just another guy who can only do so much for his team. They do get some Manhattan transfers. You know the whole situation with that. I don't think they were starters in Manhattan. I think they were bench players, but they could make an impact in the America East. But yeah, I mean, NJIT, they've been a struggling program ever since they turned D1, honestly. They've had a couple good names in there. I forget who is that guy that was a baller for MJIT? You know who I'm talking about? He averaged like so many points.
Zach Cooks.
Yeah. He transferred somewhere, I forget where, but anyways, yeah, this NJIT team hasn't really been too hot, and just some of these top tier America East teams have kind of just been controlling that, and they haven't really broke through yet, so yeah, I got them here at eight as well.
At number seven is UMBC. No starters return, and this looks like a complete roster turnaround. Obviously, Jim Ferry's still the guy at UMBC, so their coaching staff is, I'd say, pretty proven and pretty good, but their team, not so much. That is why I have them at seven.
Definitely agree. Yeah, it's gonna be a different look for UMBC, complete turnaround, and their coach left, correct?
Did he?
I think he did. Or am I mixing up? Who was their coach last year? Oh, now we gotta look,
Jim
because
Ferry.
yeah, didn't he leave, or am I tripping? I might be tripping.
No, he didn't leave. What are you talking about?
I'm tripping then.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm
I
thinking of
said
what am
I.
I thinking?
You
Oh,
even said I know.
you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of VCU because they have the
You said
exact
I
same.
know this conference inside and out, of course. And you said
Yeah,
that.
oh, you're right.
You're
You're right. I did say that.
disrespectful.
I did say that. Right. Yeah, I apologize. But Yeah, no, I was thinking VCU because the colors are the same. I don't know why, but yeah, this UMBC team, complete turnaround. You know how they go, though. This team will always be down in the history books for what they did against Virginia. So no one will forget what UMBC is. I actually drove by on my way down here to school, but yeah, I haven't been here at 7, unfortunately. And hold on, why? So why are they in this conference and they're so far away from everyone else? I just processed that too now. They're all the way down in Maryland, and then you got all these teams up in the Northeast, and then New York. I mean, does that make much sense to you? I don't know, just a thought.
Yeah, why is UCLA and USC
Yeah,
playing?
that's true. I hate conference realignment. I don't like it at all, but whatever. We'll see what's to come for all those conferences. We'll talk about that as we get down the road in this one.
And at number six, we got my dark horse team. More like a low tier dark horse, but that would be UNH. They hired coach Nathan Davis. He was the head coach at Bucknell for a super long time. And in my opinion, this was not a great hire, but they interviewed over 10 to 12 candidates and offered a lot of guys before Nathan Davis took the job, and no one wanted the UNH job. So it's clear that this school doesn't really focus or budget at all on basketball. But he was able to maintain and keep Clarence O'Daniels the second, so that's why I have them at number six.
Yeah, I mean, what do they put their money towards then? I mean, I can't think of a good UNH sports team. Their
Hockey.
football, yeah, you're right. Hockey, that's the only one. Because their football team's not very good. Maybe baseball, I don't know. Well, I know their volleyball team's not bad, but that's besides the point. Yes, you pretty much covered UNH. This UNH team's been bouncing around the top, though. I remember in the past couple years in conference previews, we've had UNH pretty high up, and they haven't really lived up to their expectation. Yeah, they finished top three, maybe most years. Not last year, I don't believe. But yeah, they never really seemed to have that blowing punch to qualify for the big dance. It's always been a team like UMBC, a team like Vermont. Even UMass Lowell has probably knocked them out. They never really get that final punch when it comes time to actually qualify for the big dance. And I think that's going to be what happens this year. I know the team's a lot different as well, but you return Clarence Daniels and you think, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big piece, but it really just depends on who steps up around him. And if people do, I think UNH could be an all right team, moving up a couple spots, but I don't see much leeway for that with these top five being very, very good.
Yeah, and at number five, I have Maine here, your dark horse. 2 years ago, they were one of the laughing stocks of college basketball, and last year they gained a little bit of respect, and I believe they're going to gain a lot more respect again this year. Like you mentioned, four starters, and some of the bench return, and I expect a huge leap from them this year.
Absolutely. And I'm going to do a little mid-episode switch. I'm going to put Maine down here at five as well. I don't like to copy your rankings, but I do agree after doing some further research on two other teams. Yeah, Maine will be pretty good still. I mean, they have a lot of experience coming back after a very good year, a year in the right direction for Maine. Still can't get over their gym. Their gym is absolutely tiny. It's so small. It's kind of crazy. But, anyways, this main team will be good. I think they got a good thing going, and with Tynes there as that main guy, I think they got a lot of good options. So I'm excited to see what Maine does. I think they could be a very interesting mix into this America East that's already pretty loaded this year.
And I'm gonna do a mid-episode switch. I'm gonna put Binghamton at number four. This is a team I had third in the conference last year, and they finished tied for fourth. There was that group that finished three teams that finished 8-8 that included Bryant. But Binghamton, they return three starters and some bench, and man, those two returners and Armon Hurried and Dan Piketch, they're gonna be a good duo. And you add in a prize transfer in America East. You added Samir Torrance from Syracuse, and all of a sudden you got a really good squad, and Binghamton on paper looks real good, and I have them at four.
Yeah, I think Binghamton's going to be very good as well. This is another team that was kind of down the dumps, not really good, but they broke through, and I think this year could be a very good year for them. I have them here at four as well. But yeah, I think the Samir Torrance piece is the biggest one of them all. I know you return Harid and Pekash, but I think Torrance is the main guy that you want to see blossom. Obviously, coming in from Syracuse to the America East, that's a pretty big addition for any team. I don't care what team you are. If you get a guy from the ACC in a very beloved school in Syracuse, that's a win for your school. So I think Binghamton, it has a win there, and I think Torrance could evolve into a very good piece for this team. We'll see how it goes. You know how chemistry and stuff goes. But yeah, I think Binghamton could be a very good team next year. And that's why we both have them at four. Both of our rankings are the same, except the top two, which is kind of unfortunate, but whatever.
Yeah, it's gonna change right now. I'm making another
Oh,
mid-episode.
you are.
I'm putting Vermont at number three
Oh,
here.
what are you doing?
Obviously, this is a dynasty in the America East, and they only return one starter, and all of the bench returns. The bench probably gonna move up to become starters, but I'm not sold on this team this year. I don't know. I'm just not sold on this team this year, and. Will they win the America East? Probably. And John Becker's been due for a job since a long time. He could have
Since we
went
started this podcast.
there. Even before that, he should have.
Yeah, probably.
Even before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna put them at three, even though you kind of have a sense of where they're gonna finish.
And they're getting new facilities, right? Soon.
Yeah.
That'll be very good for Vermont. But yeah, I mean this Vermont team will be interesting. I mean, I never really worry about them. I think they always do fine, but I mean, I would be a little worried. I mean, I know they just made it once again to the big dance, and they did pretty good. I mean, for what it's worth, the first half, I mean, at least they did pretty good against Marquette. They played Marquette, right? Yeah, then they got blown out in the second half. But yeah, I mean, I'm not completely sold on Vermont as well, but I want to keep them where I have them. So that brings me to my number three team, UMass Lowell, another team on the rise very quickly. They're fully transitioned to D1 now. That was a little bit ago, but I really do like this team on paper. And like I said, their roster just came out a couple of days ago. Last time I checked, it was not up there. So I was panicking and I was like, yeah, we're just gonna have to throw them in here and say the roster's not done, but we think they'll be all right. But yeah, they look very good on paper. They have Abdul Karim Coulibaly coming back, Yande Hakeem. Alan Blunt, Max Brooks, they got a lot of talent and scoring coming back. So I do think this team's going to be very good. They also have a couple guys coming in. Quentin Mincy comes in from, oh, never mind. He was there last year. But you know how it goes. I think this UMass Lowell team is very experienced. And I think they'll be very good. And they were so close last year. This team was one of the hottest teams in America at a point last year, and they were so close to making it to the big dance for the first time ever. They got another very good chance this year with most of their guys coming back.
And I'm gonna make another mid-episode switch. I'm putting my school at number two. I'm putting Bryant at number two. I know you're surprised. I'm pretty surprised
Why would you do
myself.
that?
I mean, ever since this podcast has started, I've put in Bryant at number one every single time. But yeah, I'm putting Bryant at number two this year. Three starters return, led by Sharif Gross-Bolak and Earl Timberlake. The bench returns. I can name the full roster, but I'm not gonna do that. But you know how it goes at Bryant. We play basketball, we run, we jump. We're gonna allow 100 points a game, but we're gonna score 105. That's how it works at Bryant. And I'm gonna have them just on paper. I think they're the second best team on paper. I think the number one team, easily the best team on paper. But Bryant's definitely a close second in my opinion with the guys they have.
Very interesting. I'm surprised you did that. I do have Bryant at two as well. Last year was an interesting year for them. We expected a lot better things, and it didn't really happen that way. But I mean, they're still decent. I mean, I know injuries kind of derailed the season. I mean, you could probably attest to that as well. But yeah, three stars, majority of the bench comes back. But like I talked about, Sharif Gross-Bolak and Earl Timberlake. They have very big roles once again for this Bryant team. No more Charles Pride. It's these two guys' show now. They're gonna need a couple other guys to step up, yeah, but I think they do have some pieces that are able to do so. You probably know who they are. We'll keep them quiet, so no one scouting this knows who it is. But yeah, I think Bryant will be pretty good. We'll see what Grasso does. I know there's talks of him maybe leaving this off season, but could be next off season as well. Obviously, you don't want him to leave, or you do. I don't know what you want. Probably not. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But I got Bryant here at 2.
Yeah, I'll keep my opinion to myself. But I thought if Iona offered him, he probably would have gone to Iona. But fortunately, he did not go to Iona, so that's where I'm at.
Same with Syracuse. I thought he'd have a chance at that job as well, but I don't know.
So he's waiting for – who's the Hughes coach? I forgot his name.
The one now?
Yeah.
I don't remember his name either.
He's going to slip up and Gross is going to take that job. That's my opinion. But, yeah, keep an eye on Earl Timberlake. I work with him one-on-one, so I take a lot of pride in that. Didn't have a jump shot last year. I'm going to tell you guys right now, he's going to look like a brand new man this year. And I remember
Adrian Autry.
I think he's going to – I don't think – I don't – I'll keep it for that.
We'll talk about Syracuse when we get there. We got plenty of time.
Number one, UMass Lowell. I think they're the best team on paper. Like you mentioned, 4 starters return, and they're good, man. They were good. They were terrific last year. Like you said, one of the hottest teams in the country last year. And fun fact, they went 17-0 at home last year. So, yeah, and if they get the number one seed, the way America East works is it's bracket play, and they're the higher seed of every game host. If UMass Lowell wins the regular season title and the America East tournament runs through Lowell, Lowell's winning it all, because they proven last year that they're one of the best home teams, and not just in the conference, but in the country. And they also beat UMass at Amherst last year as well. So they're easily the best UMass school in terms of basketball. They got the best big man in Abdul Karim Coulibaly. That's a name we've heard for a while. He started his career at Pitt. He played at St. Bonaventure's. But, yeah, easily the best team on paper right now is UMass Lowell.
Yeah, I mean, they're a fun team. They're so fun, too. I mean, that team was just fun to watch, and I hope that's the case this year. If I do watch some America East games, which I try to watch a couple. I know they're on ESPNU sometimes, ESPN2 sometimes. But, I mean, you show me that website, so I can just watch for free now. So we'll be seeing. But, yeah, my number one team, I mean, it still has to be Vermont. I'm sorry. It has to. I know I'm a little skeptical on them this year as well. They only have one starter coming back, but all the bench comes back. And you know John Becker's motto, it's next man up. And Aaron Deloney and Matt Barreto, they both come back, which is huge for this team. They both had some good moments in that March Madness tournament game against Marquette. I do remember Barreto lighting it up from 3. But, yeah, this Vermont team, I wouldn't be too worried. They always find a way to get back to the top. And this is definitely a dynasty in the making, I think, for this American East Conference. And, yeah, there's a lot of targets on Vermont's back right now with a lot of teams in the hunt. But for now, I still believe Vermont will be the best team in the America East. But it's a very close margin between 4 or 5 teams, I'd say. Probably down to Binghamton, maybe. But, yeah, I'm excited for college basketball, man. America East, it looks pretty good on paper. It does indeed. I bet you're very excited as well. Are you traveling with Brian for the America East games as well?
Unfortunately, now that we hired a lot more coaches, I am not. If you asked me 2.5 weeks ago, yes. But we have since then hired an assistant coach and 2 more guys with titles that I can't even name right now. But, yeah. No.
You're not going anywhere now?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know, man. But what's fun is I get to watch all these teams on my computer, on my TV, and I get to write down their strengths and weaknesses, and I get to report them back to the coaching staff. So that's why I know. That's why I know this conference inside and out.
Indeed, indeed. That's why you knew FAU was blossom to fame would happen as well, even though you had them down. But hey, sometimes it's just how the way it goes. But yeah, excited to be back. 73 days until college basketball tips back up. We have a lot of work to do. That's conference one out of 32 down. Next one up will be the A-Sun, which we are looking forward to. We're looking forward to all of them, but it's just good to be back doing these conference previews. Not as many debates today. You know those will be coming soon. They just always do.
I'll start one right now.
Here we go.
It's a volcano hot take. I go to Bryan. I'm part of the team. I do some stuff there, but man, that non-conference schedule is gonna be tough, man. We got Cincy, we got FAU, we got Ole Miss. Who else we got? We got Xavier, and I believe we're gonna have Houston as well. It hasn't been officially announced, but yeah, we
again might Houston play. Again.
Yeah.
Wow, they do that.
If we go, I feel like if we go 4-1 against those teams, we're gonna have a number next to our name.
There's no way you're doing that.
I said if.
Okay, I'm saying it probably won't happen.
No, it's gonna.
Yeah, I mean it is a tough schedule though. It's not even up yet. I was looking at last year's schedule.
Exactly, it's not even up yet. But yeah, we're gonna have a number next to our name.
I mean, I don't know about that. When was the last time an American East team had a number next to their name? That's the trivia question. If you make it all the way to the end,
I'm a guess right now.
Yeah, I'm a guess too. Who and what year?
I'm a guess Vermont.
Yeah,
when did Anthony Lamb play? When did he graduate in 2018? I believe I'm gonna say Vermont. 2016. That's my guess.
Yeah, I'm gonna look right after we end this episode, but that's not a bad guess. It's definitely Vermont. It has to be.
I feel like it's got to be one of those 4 years Anthony Lamb was on.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna take a guess. He played from 2015 to 20. I'm gonna guess 2016. That's just
fair. Fair enough. That's a good guess. So yeah, we'll look that up, and if anyone knows, just shoot us that down a DM or something. Instagram, Twitter, you know where to find us. At the RTM underscore podcast. It's good to be back though. We'll be cranking these out more and more as we keep ramping up. I know
we double up today. If you want to double up today,
yeah, we could double up right now.
We could even triple up. I mean,
yeah, this we're actually ready to go.
This is probably the fastest half hour in a while, man.
Agreed. That's how it feels when you're first back in a while, but we're ready to go. We love conference previews and just seeing how it pans out through the year, if we're right or if we're wrong. Doesn't matter. It's our own opinions. I mean, we know nothing's perfect from what we say or decide.
Yeah, check last year's
one. You know,
how did we do last year compared to?
I don't know. Probably, Probably not good. I think we had Bryan towards the top, and they didn't really end up going there. I don't know. We'll find out later. But you know, that is all we have for today's episode. I believe it is good to be back, but we'll be cranking out two more. We'll post on Twitter, post on Instagram that we're back. For those of you that have been wondering where we're at, don't worry, we're still here. But you got any closing thoughts?
Not really.
Yeah, I just
see you guys again tonight.
Agreed. And then it's 96 degrees here where I am. I just noticed that now. So thankfully, I am inside doing podcasts. So nothing I'd rather be doing.
Get some vitamin D, and you make do a podcast.
I have too much. I'm so burnt. Sorry, Mom. I got burnt. But yeah, that is all we got for today's episode. We'll probably see you later tonight with another one. But thank you guys for tuning in. As always, it's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. Thank you guys for tuning in.